This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, well, this is an exciting day. I have a guest who was on recently, but we didn't have enough time to talk about everything that I wanted to talk to him about. So I'm so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Randy Rush. He wrote this wonderful book called 13 Billion to One. And it's so nice to have you back, Randy.
Well, Patsy, it's an absolute delight, and thank you for having me back.
Well, you know, I didn't have enough time last time. Last time we talked about your book, which really intrigued so many of my listeners. So we'll talk just briefly about that. But what I really want to talk about, because you, for anyone who didn't hear that program, Randy won a lot of money in the lottery. And it isn't just what happened with winning the lottery, but the fact that you faced a difficult situation, somebody tried to and did con you, and you fought back, and so many people don't. And then as a result of that, and you started a company that really fights this kind of thing, because white-collar crime is serious, and during this pandemic period, so many people are getting in trouble because they are perhaps spending too much time on the internet.
Yes. And, you know, white-collar crime is something out there. We hear about it. It's in the news every now and again. You read about it in the papers. But when you're actually part of it, it really does take on a different dimension. And, you know, we didn't have and thanks for having me back, because it's a very complex subject from my point of view. It's just not the loss of money. It's the effect it has on your mind, your soul, your psyche, the embarrassment factor. There's definite stages to the white collar process. And, you know, first you're angry. You're angry and you're bitter, and then I'm going to get a lawyer. And gosh, it's not that simple, man. It really isn't. And that's why in our legal system, there's in Canada too, our legal systems are different, but they're very closely related in a lot of areas. And so, you got to have a lot of money to get that civil action going.
And luckily, of course, let's step back for a minute. Explain to my listeners about your win and why. Yeah. I mean, it could happen to you. It can all these things happen to there are con men who will take money from a little old lady, you know. So in your case, you were lucky enough that you had enough money to fight this and to really make a difference.
Right. And that was, one reason, I took the high road. But as we were doing this, the layers of the onion started peeling back. And then we realized that he's done this over 200 times, and he's taken about 200 people and up to the tune of about $30 million in cash, cars, and assets in the last 20 years. Him and his wife and his mom and dad, they all worked together. And it was just horrific. We did over 110 interviews for another book we did on him called Bloodsuckers. And that's available on Amazon. We touch a little bit on it in 13 Billion to One. But and he has stolen from little old ladies, this guy, And it just goes on and on. So, and during that process, we realized the flaws in our system and how the circles of our agencies, there's a gap, as they touch, there's a crack in the wall, and that's where these people exist.
And so after you were conned and after you realized what happened, and luckily you have enough money to hire the best lawyers and fight and really you know, take this to the upper limit, which will someday I know we will see in a wonderful streaming video, because the book is so good. But you then formed a company to help fight it, and explain about the company, about what you're trying to attain with this, and how people can contact somebody when they've faced a situation like this.
Yes, you know, we have randyrush.com, Rantana Media. You know, there's a few websites out there, and you know, we have to vet the stories. You know, we vet the stories. We have a legal system that we, you know, we have to have legalities, and you know, we just are not, you know, passing along a story. So, and then you know, we vet it from there, and so it's the cases are rolling in. You know, the people are emailing, and it's just shocking. You know, what's out there. You know, and then you realize that you're not alone. You know, it's happened to other people, and life goes on. You know, and the whole point of the book is I wanted to give the readers hope. You know, you know, no matter how bad your circumstances are, or how dire, you know, there's hope at the end of the day, and that's the feedback I've been getting back from people who've read the book, is that, you know, it's just given them a lot of hope, and I thought, oh, okay, great, you know, that's awesome, you know, so. That's the nature of what we're doing at Rantana Media. You know, it's very rewarding and fulfilling too at the same time.
Well, I think it's just such a wonderful thing that you've done, because even, you know, in my radio program, I get emails from so many people who have fallen for all sorts of phishing kind of cons that, mm-hmm. you know, writers are out there. They send their email address out to, you know, so many people, because, you know, they're always trying to make contacts, always trying to get more people interested in them. And then, so it really opens them up for a lot of this kind of emails where they, you know, are promised this or promised that. And mm-hmm. it's so sad when, you know, even in this, in my own area here, I know some people who have fallen for different things, and a few times I've been able to, you know, send them on to my intellectual property lawyer, because often what they steal is not just money. They get money from writers, but they also, like, have the actual property in their hand. So, you know, it's frightening for writers and for everybody. And as you said, it's embarrassment, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, you know, and it's I almost did not sue because of that, like, you know, it was something I struggled with very early, especially it came from my best friend's son, and that's you know, there, that's when your guard is really down. People you consider family, where there's a long leash of goodwill, so to speak, you know. You know, I was very fortunate. My investment was an asset-based, you know, investment, and there was some operating capital that was involved in the company, but I got about 65, 70 cents back on the dollar with the assets, and he was embezzling the money out of the company. It was $1.5 million in about 4 months, so it didn't take long for us to figure out what was going on, and we shut it down. But in a lot of other cases, you know, you're lucky if you get 5 cents on the dollar.
Oh, you know. Yeah. And how they can do it to small, you know, you were, of course, a rich target in many ways. I mean, $50 million, like, whoa, okay. I can see somebody coming after you. But when you hear about somebody coming after some really poor people, and just conning them with things that afterwards they say, why did I fall for it? Why did I fall for it? And it's hard.
It is hard, isn't it? And, you know, and the thing is most people out there are good people. They're trusting people. Most people do what they say they're going to do. And that's how, you know, these white collar criminals slide in under that banner. You know, that's their window dressing. With the individuals we're talking about, Jeremy and Amy Crawford, you know, they exist in the church, and they're just the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. You know, they're church-going folk, and their mom and dad are church-going folk, and they're just lovely people. They're just beautiful people. But, and that's their window dressing. That's their MO.
Well, do tell us a little bit about the actual lawsuit, about what happened. Where did you... Did you go to court? Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You write about that. So the thing is, explain what it felt like to face these people.
In the beginning, it was a little surreal. But as the layers of the onion were peeling back, so to speak, it was very evident that he had a history of this. And that's another, that's another sidebar conversation. But as we were going through it, it just, like as you say, how could I achieve the red flag? I saw that red flag. I talked to him about it. I should have done that, should have done this. And, it was only about 4 months it went on, but still the damage was done. And, he was so blatant about it that the judge ordered him to... put money back into the company. He took an illegal mortgage out on the office building we had, and it was $200,000. And he took that money and went to Disneyland with him and his kids and his sister and her husband and their three kids, and posted all the pictures on Facebook. And then the judge saw that. He got really excited. And so the next month he took his wife's family to Disneyland, and his wife has two brothers are ministers, and her dad's a minister, and they took their wives and their seven kids to Disneyland and posted all the pictures on Facebook again. And so by the time we got back to court again, the judge was not a very happy man. And he almost went to jail for contempt of court. He didn't show up for that hearing. He ran back to Canada, and shortly after, he was about to go to jail. I'm not sure if there was an arrest warrant issued, but that was the next step. And the judge was just livid, so he signed our case very quickly. And then, there was 14 counts, 12 counts. Yep, 12 counts of fraud, which that was just civilly. So we tried to go after criminally, and nobody in the state of Arizona was interested at a city level, state level, even a federal level. We almost had to pick up federally, but he was already back in Canada, and the American authorities said, well, he's a Canadian national living in Canada. Let the Canadians worry about him, and we got bigger fish to fry. So, this guy does have some... Yeah, he's actually got more Teflon coating than John Gotti, to be honest with you, once you get into all the stories about this guy. But that was sort of it in a nutshell. So it was very surreal. It's an unbelievable story. And how he's never spent a day in jail in his life is truly amazing, But I've moved on to other things. I let the proper authorities know about his activities and with all the legal docs, and he's moved on to international scams now. Like there was one where it started in South Korea, Canada, the United States, Spain, and England. And we let the authorities there in England know, and I don't know what happened to that, but it was, that whole deal was worth $1.2 billion Canadian.
Oh, boy.
It's just, you can't make this stuff up. It's just, the guy doesn't stop. He's really a catch-me-if-you-can kind of guy. And we'll see. I've moved on. I moved on quite a while ago, and you have to, and that's part of the healing process of white-collar victims, is you have to come to a point where you move on, and I've moved on, but there's other people that still follow him,
Are
interested in what he does.
Well, the thing is, of course, we're waiting for the streaming video to come out. Because
yes, and I can't talk too much, but there's a lot of stuff in the works on a lot of conversations with certain people. So,
well,
it's exciting.
They should
come out of the pipe.
I think it's a wonderful story. Well, you're a fascinating person in general, and
thank you.
Even without the $50 million, you would be an interesting person, you know. And so that all of this has happened, and the way that you approach things, and the way you fought back and didn't take it, and really working now to make a difference for people, I think it's so wonderful. And I know that it's going, I mean, I would just love to see this. And I'm it's so funny, you know, during this pandemic, I'm going through, you know, all those streaming videos, and I'm thinking, oh, this is boring, this isn't interesting, this isn't fun. And then I'm thinking, oh, wow, I would love to see Randy Rush's story here, because that is, it's so filled with so many, you know, exciting points. And I know that it'll happen. I feel it, because I know that somebody in Hollywood will say, I can't resist this story. And somebody's going to play you. I don't know who it'll be, but it's going
to. Yeah, we do have someone in mind, and I don't want to be pretentious and start dropping names or anything, but there's a few people in mind that would be a really good fit. And it's in the discussion.
Good.
Because, level. And I'm not too sure how much I can really talk about it.
Well, once they get through with this pandemic-y thing and people are actually starting to shoot films again, when you're ready to announce it, you have to come on here and give it to me as breaking news. We'll break
absolutely. I'd be delighted.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And that's a day pass.
Oh, really? Do that, because I don't get a lot. I mean, I get the joy of talking to authors on the release date of their book, and that's sort of breaking news, but I don't get real breaking news, like,
yeah.
So that would be fantastic, because I believe in you. I believe that sometimes God, you know, you hear about people winning the lottery, and you hear about people who mess up with the money, you hear about some people who do good with the money, and then sometimes, as in your case, that the money came to the right person at the right time in his life. That you were, you know now what you have to do and how you can help people. And so that's what's so impressive about you. And I think that there are so many scenes in your life. We can't even get into, again, about your family, your father, all of this thing.
Yeah.
And we never did talk about your mother, but I understand.
That's a whole hour program right there.
That's it. So that's why I said, well, I see it as a streaming video. Now, I like that movie, Catch Me If You Can. But in your case, I see there's so many paths in your story that it needs more time, you know, more than an hour and 50 minutes. We can go easily a 6-part series with this story.
Hey, let's do it. I'd be delighted.
You have enough material. I mean, it's always something like that where you look at, when you're looking at a property in Hollywood, you look and you say, does it have enough material? Yeah. Oh, with Randy Rush, we got enough material. And
I love it. Thank you.
I think that, you know, because it's the win, it's you, your family, what you're doing, and also about your involvement with Africa. Because that, for me, that is very important, because I think I mentioned to you that my friend Peter Riva is involved deeply in doing things in Africa. He writes books set in Africa, and like Murder on Safari is one of his books. And the wonderful thing about him is he has a deep and loving interest in helping people in Africa. And right now, of course, they have a terrible time over there. You know, we're suffering here with COVID and all of our problems, but it's so much worse over there because they don't have the infrastructure to help. And so anything that people can do to help in Africa, I think is just so wonderful. And so tell us a little bit about your involvement in Africa.
Yes, be delighted to. You know, again, with COVID, everything's sort of been on hold for the last, gosh, what are we in, month 6 now?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so I was part of a couple school projects that I funded partially, and me and, you know, some other donors. I was a pretty big donor, so I'm told, but it doesn't matter. But the one school project is just south of Kampala in Uganda, and it's on a 20-acre compound, And it's just a lovely project. You know, I was supposed to be there last month for the opening, but that's, I think, pushed back to next year sometime, you know, and it's sad, actually. But, and then I'm involved in another school project in Kenya, just on the Mari Plain there. And just where the, just as the desert starts, where all the migration of the wildebeest and the Maasai people, that's the word I'm looking for, Maasai Mari Plain. And we're, you know, it's just on the edge of the Maasai tribe and their territory. And I think it is in Maasai territory, but some of these kids are walking 5 miles a day to school. You know, they want to learn to read, they want to learn to write, you know, and that excites me all day long. You know, it's their thirst for knowledge is just, that's sort of my paycheck, so to speak. And you know, I go into the classroom sometimes and give a little talk on Canada and how cold it is. And these kids have never seen snow, right? You know, and they're asking what snow is and how it feels like. You know, so and you know, questions that we just take for granted as Canadians, like, you know, it's you know, gee, what does snow feel like? Well, it's wet and it's cold, you know, it's you know, and so but they're just beautiful people, you know, all the way around. And so that I just the smiles on their face too, you know. So it's a lovely project, you know. It's I think you know, these projects are still going forward. The people are still in place. Logistics is still there. The sun still rises tomorrow. You know, that's one thing I'm telling people through COVID. Yeah, it's not ideal, but you know what? The sun will still rise tomorrow. You know, we've been through worse things as a civilization and a race of people. And, you know, so, and, you know, it's just, I think if you have a positive attitude when life gives you lemons, make lemonade kind of thinking, you know, so.
Well, that's what we have to do right now. I'm like still sort of in shock. You know, for 2 months I was broadcasting from the house, and then now I'm happy to be back in the studio. And as you said, we still don't know, but we live in hope, and that's I think that's a human spirit. We have to keep that going. You were living in hope that you'd win the lottery. And wow.
I knew I was going to win. It sounds very pretentious. It sounds kind of fabricated. But I didn't think 50, but I knew I was coming into a large amount of money. And when you go before a lottery, when you win something like that in Canada, you go through before a lottery commission, and they ask you questions and they ask your story. And I said, listen, you know, this sounds completely fabricated. And they stopped me and they said, listen, no, we hear this all the time, like all the time. So please proceed with your story. And I was like, wow, okay. And, you know, and it was like just a wall of energy. I felt it coming, you know, it just it was getting more intense. And I actually did streamline a few relationships personally, because I knew when this happened, it wouldn't have been good, you know, for these people to be around and their kids and stuff. And so, you know, and it was the right call, you know, and so when it, but I never thought 50, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm just so thrilled that you were able to come back on Joy on Paper today. I think you are inspirational, and I really appreciate it. And remember, when you have news, you have breaking news, you have to contact me and come back on and break it right here on Joy on Paper. Man, to really give my listeners a thrill, I can tell you. Give me a thrill.
Got a deal.
Okay, because I know it's going to, you know, as you knew you were going to win the lottery, I know that I'm going to see this one day on streaming video. I'm going to have something actually that I want to watch.
Okay.
So you take care. Oh, what's your website for? You have some of your pictures from Africa on your website. What's that?
Yes. The website is Rantana Media. So Rantana, RANTANNA Media.
Uh-huh.
Then there's randyrush.com. And there's links all the way through that, my books. But on Rantana Media, there's my books, and you can see them on Amazon, and they're available 13 billion to 1 is available on Amazon, and Bloodsuckers 2 is available on
Amazon.com. Bloodsuckers is a heck of a book. Oh, boy. When they combine this, we're going to have a major, major video. Okay. Thank you so much again, Randy Rush, for being on Joy on Paper today. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Thank you, Patsy. Absolute delight as always.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye for now.
All right. Isn't he wonderful? Amazing, amazing. You're waiting around and you win $50 million and Okay, that's pretty exciting. Anyway, we're going to do a commercial. When we come back, I'm going to do a book buzz today because I don't have Rita here, okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And I'm just waiting. I'm going to be talking in a little while about a subject that all of you love. You like one part of the subject, you like the other part of the subject, and you might like both parts because it's about dogs and cats. And do I have... Oh, wow. Okay, great. I am so thrilled. This is exciting because I know that I have so many listeners out there. You either have a dog or you have a cat or... both. And so today we're going to be talking to somebody who knows all about dogs and cats. And I am so happy that National Geographic sent me these books. They are beautiful, as always. National Geographic's just great. And I'm happy to welcome to the program Dr. Gary Weitzman. Hi, Dr. Weitzman.
Hey, hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay. Well, I just love National Geographic books. And, it's wonderful. We're all sort of stuck at home. And anybody who has National Geographic books is never bored because you can always pick up one of them and go. You can look at them over and over. And those are the kind of books that you keep. So... aren't they wonderful?
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, they.
I hope so.
Well, they're so such good quality always, and your two new books, National Geographic Kids, Fetch, a How to Speak Dog Training Guide, and Pounce, a How to Speak Cat Training Guide. Wow. Okay.
Right. That's a mouthful, right?
Yeah, they are a lot.
Yep.
But
yep.
Really, really. Beautifully done books, fascinating, and as always, the illustrations are perfect, and then all of the advice that you have for people, because it's during this pandemic, I've heard that a lot of people are getting animals, and they've been lonely, and I do hope that they will keep them, unlike people who buy chicks at Easter. I hope that they will all keep their animals.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing. And what we've seen this since the pandemic started is an incredible drop in the number of animals we've had in animal shelters. I'm out here in San Diego at a pretty big shelter, San Diego Humane, and we've got about a third of the animals we would normally have. And they're just a couple things. You're right. People are adopting them and taking them in. People are fostering, which is great. And they're also not giving them up, which is like music to my ears for that to happen. And you're out in a wonderful place in Tampa, and my good friend Martha Bowden runs the Tampa SPCA, and that's a wonderful shelter as well. And the same thing all across the country. Our shelters are not full like they normally would be in August, which is terrific.
Oh, it is. That's wonderful. Just to know that. And I hope that the bonds that people are making with their animals during this period will be lasting, that they will realize it has been so good to have the animals to be with you, because so many people are alone, and I think perhaps they have more appreciation, you know, than when they have, you know, a dog or a cat and they walk out of the house every morning at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and don't come back till 6:30 at night. Now they get real time. And I love, there are a lot of people who are like doing photos of their cats and or dressing their dogs up.
Right.
I think all of that is very cute, and I'm sure it's filled a lot of lonely time.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, listen, during COVID, the safest thing in the world you can hug is your dog or your cat. Seriously, we know that they don't really transmit the virus or carry it. We do know that. We think we know that. We're learning things every day, but animals are pretty safe with us. So I think this is a mutually beneficial situation as far as pet ownership is concerned. But I'll tell you, I could not get through stressful times in my life, not just COVID, but other things, without my animals. So they really do add a lot. They really do.
Well, and of course, if you are new to pets, it can be a daunting experience. Let's talk first. Well, you know, as I said, you have these people who only like dogs or who only likes cats, and then you have so there's three types of people, or maybe four types of ones who don't like any animals at all. But
what is that about?
Yeah, what is that exactly? Let's talk about cats first, because I was seriously thinking about getting a cat at one point. My problem is I've got like over 3,000 books in my house. 3,000. They're all over the place.
Yep.
And I mean,
yep.
I have bookcases, bookshelves. There are not only, I have high ones, low ones. I have them on tables. I have books everywhere. And the thought of a cat was like too much for me. Is it true you can train a cat not to scratch your books?
You can. Yeah, you can. And part of it is, you just hit on something, part of it is training them to do things you want them to do, but easily as important is training them to not do things you don't want them to do. So climbing up furniture, climbing up curtains and drapes, climbing on your bookshelves, those are all things that are pretty easy to train a cat, but you have to give them something to do that's appropriate. Cats want to be climbing. They want to be up high. You got to get them a cat tree, something to climb on, and preferably more than one, and make it the best place on earth for that cat. Catnip, treats, everything, you know, cat pheromones or something that we've started using. Well, it's been about 20 years now, so it's not just recent, with cat pheromones. And those help a lot to actually direct cats to doing behaviors that are more compatible with living with humans. I think you can get a cat. I really do. I think you can train your cat not to go on your bookshelf.
I wouldn't care if it ripped up the furniture, tore the curtains down. I don't care about any of that. The only thing I care about are the books. So that sort of frightened me away. But as you said, they do need to climb. I know my mother was a great cat lover, and but of course we lived a different kind of lifestyle because we were in a sort of the country, so animals were treated differently than you know city animals.
Yeah.
But
our relationship has evolved with our animals, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It has. Now, what's the difference between when a cat swishes a tail and a dog swishes its tail?
A world of difference. And part of these books are really their companions to How to Speak Dog and How to Speak Cat with National Geographic about 2012, 13, I think I did those. And those are about body language and behavior. And these are about body language and training. And training and behavior are different things, but you can't do training without knowing some behavior. So both of these books, Pounce and Fetch, start with behavior. How do you recognize what your animals are telling you? And how do you know when it's the right time to train them? Because it's not all the time, like us. We're not always ready to be taught or listen. I don't think humans are great listeners, except for on your radio show. That's it. They're great listeners on that. But really recognizing the tail swish, tail movement, tail position, all of those things are really critical in a dog. In a cat, the tail swishing can really mean stress. In a dog, it can be happiness, but not always. So that's why it's really important, and especially for kids, to know before they ask someone if they can pet the dog, to recognize that the dog looks happy about them doing that. Of course, a responsible owner will say, no, I don't think you should do that. And everybody, all kids should ask their parents or their caretaker first before they actually go to a pet a dog. But you're right, the tails are very, very different things. But you can start at the front, the head is different too. So the ear positions and the muzzle and the whiskers and the eyes, cats will show you everything in their eyes by the size of their pupil. And it's really fascinating. Obviously, a very dilated eye is a very stressed cat, you know, the big, wide, big black pupil. And a constricted one is a relaxed cat. And they have those wonderfully colorful, you know, gem-colored eyes. But, you know, you do have to start from the front, work to the back. And there, it's really only 5 or 6 things to look for. And you can probably pretty accurately determine what your animal's mood is.
Well, back to my idea of getting a cat.
Work on that. Yes,
which cat is my instinct would be to get a Siamese cat because the hair is shorter. Again, I'm thinking of my books. I'm always thinking of my books. But do different cat breeds have different personalities?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely do. Siamese would be a good choice for you. The hair being short probably doesn't matter a whole lot. It's the shedding quotient. And that's what really matters, how much hair you're going to be dealing with. But generally speaking, you're not going to get a ton of hair cluttering up your books from a Siamese. So I think the breed does matter. Abbeys, you know, Abyssinians are beautiful cats. They're very independent. Oh. But they're very loyal to one person. And they can be headstrong. So that may not be a starter cat for a lot of people, and a tortoiseshell, the same deal. And the interesting part is torties are almost always females. There's a couple exceptions that happen every now and then, and we call like the news when we have a male tortoiseshell. But definitely, if you're going to start with a cat that's going to be easy to train and really, really gregarious with you, I would go with an orange tabby male and start with that. But there's a little bit of hair going on there. Hey, you just have to get one of those robot cleaners. You know those things that go around?
Oh, yeah, I know.
And brushing every day. Brushing every day can take care of almost every problem that you have with cat shedding. And so that's also a bonding time. I think we're going to work on this thing. I think you have a cat in your future.
Okay, well, you never know. You never know. Okay. I could get away with that, and I now live in a condo building. So we do have, we've had this ongoing a little war, mini war with people because, you know, it is technically a building with no animals, no pets, no.
Oh, how bad.
And yeah, but of course, people have cats, and says that they've tolerated cats, which is okay. Then we have some people who have dogs with service vests. So, you know, it's hard to say no, because you know that some of them, you know, really need it. And perhaps everybody needs one now. You know, everybody needs comfort. So,
I hear you.
So yep. You know, it's funny. But it's an ongoing fight. As long as we stick with cats and dogs, because I'm not going to complain. We do have the problem arose because we have a condo building here on the island, just right overlooking the water. And they had a big fight because a guy got a squirrel pet, and that was a little too much.
Okay.
I think
there's a number of problems there.
There are
one that they're illegal.
Exactly. He trained the thing. I don't know how he did it, but he did, and he loved it. So, but he moved out, I think. So,
hopefully he took the squirrel with him.
I think he did.
Yep.
So, you know, when as you were talking about, then you have to brush dogs and cats, I guess, every day?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. It really makes their coats healthier, their skin healthier, and actually shedding is a big issue for people, and I totally get that. I'm kind of blind to hair clusters from my animals because I just can't even imagine life without them. But brushing helps tremendously. And so does a well-behaved animal, and that's what these books are about. I think our success at keeping animals safely in homes is really dependent on giving people the tools they need to have successful relationships. And medical care is one, and we're working as an industry in animal welfare to try to find ways to have people better able to access medical care for their pets. But the second part of that is behavior. And so a well-behaved animal is a safer animal in the home, and we won't get relinquishments because of that. And that's kind of the whole goal here, to keep animals in their homes.
Well, I do think that people who are home are going to be more in tune with their animals because of this pandemic.
Yeah.
They're spending more time actually watching them and really admiring. Yeah, the animals are so fantastic, and it's so much fun to watch them. So I think that there's going to be new appreciation. Now, what do you think about this law that I heard that they want to pass a law that you have to walk your animal, your dog, two hours a day?
Oh, my heavens. Is that in Tampa, St. Pete?
It is New York. It's going to be in New York.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard that. I think that would be problematic. I don't know how it would be enforceable. And 2 hours a day, depending, that's not good for every dog. There are puppies, and there are certainly border collies and Australian shepherds that would love that. I would just say that you have to take good care of your dog, and there's regulations and statutes in every state for that. But I don't think that we should prescribe how long people should walk their dogs. And I'll tell you, I mean, and I will do this publicly on your show, there's days that my dogs are always with me, but there's days that they may not be going on a walk. They're coming with me to the office, they're walking through the shelter, things like that, but I don't know that we should actually dictate how long people should walk their dog.
Yeah, I thought that was a little strange, especially since it's in New York City, and I somehow I didn't see all these fancy ladies on Fifth Avenue out there walking their dogs for 2 hours.
Oh, and they just hire a dog walker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, well, that might be good for it. Maybe this is a law the dog walker lobby has. I'd never
Maybe
thought
it
of
it. It might be.
You never know. There's a lobby for everything. So it could happen. But both of the books are really wonderful. And I think that, you know, so whether you're a cat lover or a dog lover, there's so much fascinating material in here. Let's talk one quickly, because I want to know this. What about punishing dogs? I don't think you can punish a cat, but I don't like when people punish a dog in a, like, they used to do that stick their nose in the urine thing. Oh, that just made me crazy.
Terrible.
I was at a girlfriend's house and the mother did that, and I it freaked me out. And this is when I was a kid. I mean, it's like, you can't
do
that.
And you remember it.
Yeah, I remember it still today. It was so gross, and I still can't get over that. I would never do that to an animal.
No, and you shouldn't. You should never, I mean, I'm going to be explicit about this, never punish your animal. There's no justification. It will always backfire, and it doesn't work in the first place. They don't know that what they did is ethically or morally or even behaviorally wrong most of the time. We have to encourage good behavior through positive reinforcement, but never punish a dog or a cat. And I'll even go so far as to say never yell at them. Yelling doesn't work at dogs. It just doesn't work. All they think you're doing is barking loudly. So either you're going to stress them, or they're going to yell, or they're going to behave, you know, more exuberantly because of it, or you're going to give yourself a heart attack because you're actually yelling into the wind. It doesn't mean anything. So don't yell at your dog or cat. Don't punish them. They never deserve that, and it never works. train them and encourage them and reward good behavior.
And have a nice voice with them.
Yeah, yes.
There's
not a single malicious intent in a dog or a cat.
No.
There truly isn't.
And it's so wonderful how I had this wonderful dog named Sammy. He was just a mutt, a black mutt, had no pedigree, nothing. But you could just whisper to him, really, just, you know, say to him, don't do this, do this, go here, go there.
Yes.
And
he
obeyed. He like spoiled me for every dog after that, because I never saw another dog that just took directions and listened. Always talking in a very soft voice with him.
Well, you know, they're getting their messages from us through visual cues, even more than auditory. So we think that the smartest dogs out there, border collies, can maybe learn 120 words. I think there was one dog that could learn maybe 145, 160. That's a lot of words. But that's about third grade, fourth grade level for us, maybe third grade. And what they're hearing is tone, and what they're doing is looking at us visibly. Obviously looking visibly, but they're seeing our mood and our intention in how we look, our eyes, our hands, and also we excrete pheromones as well. So they're picking all of that up too at 40,000 times more of an increase in the ability to do that than we're doing it. So, or 40 times more than we're doing
and
it.
They do know if you're smiling at them. They really do know if you're smiling at them.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
They recognize it just like a baby recognizes a smile.
Hit it right on the head. That's exactly it. Yep, they do. Cats do.
Yeah.
Cats do. They know our moods before. Sometimes I think my animals know my mood before I even know it myself. It's very funny. I used to drive in for very long commutes where I used to live, and I would, you know, it's challenging and frustrating being on the road for an hour and a half, and my dogs would know what that commute was like and what was going on for me from sitting in the back of the car. And it's not because I was yelling at anybody. It was just because I was stressed. They're very good at, they're masters at picking up our moods and visual cues. We just need to learn to do a little bit of what they do and understand them as well.
Well, I think your books are great. Is there a website that you want to send people to? Oh, because it's going
sure.
to be National Dog Day, August 26th.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, nationalgeographic.org, of course. All these books are on their website as well as Amazon. Of course, sells every book that there is that's ever been written, I believe. And then support local bookstores because we need them. They can't go away.
We do. And I really want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I'm going to be thinking about that. You know, I might.
Excellent.
Maybe
a dog. They won't climb up your shelf.
No. I can't deal with the building people, but the cat.
<I hear you. laughs>
The cat would be. And they're so beautiful. I love Siamese cats. They're so beautiful. So
they really are.
Way they move, they're so elegant. It's just, I think they're.
And they know it.
Yeah, and they know it. That's it. That's true, too. Okay, well, again, thank you, Dr. Gary Weitzman, for talking to me today all the way from beautiful San Diego. I always announce that I'm here in this beautiful area, but if there's any place over in California that I love, it's San Diego. It is such a beautiful place.
And so is Tampa, St. Pete, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. It's been a real joy to talk to you. And I'm sure you'll do very well with these books because they are really useful. And this is a time, all of you people out there, you have these animals at home or your friends. And also, they make perfect gifts for anybody. If you have anybody who has kids in their family, send them these books because it will really open the kids' eyes, and the illustrations are beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope so, and I hope they give people a little bit of joy. We all need it now.
We certainly do. Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Boy, this
Bye.
Is nice. Bye. Gary Weitzman, Dr. Gary Weitzman, he knows animals. Boy, oh boy, does he know animals. Amazing. The books are so beautiful. I just love National Geographic books. If you are looking for the perfect gift for any occasion, anything, Of course, did people graduate this year? Were there any high school graduations? I don't know. College graduations? There's no graduations. But if you are looking, well, there might have been, and you didn't get to go to one of them, if you're looking for a gift, always buy a National Geographic book, because the quality is so excellent. The paper, the binding, from the technical point of view, they are always so perfect. And they're the kinds of books, whether it's a book about dogs like and cats or ballet or road trips or whatever, the quality is so good, you never want to give these books away. I've never seen a Nat Geo book at a garage sale. I see every other kind, not that anybody can have a garage sale right now, but I've seen other books at garage sales. I've never seen anybody put a Nat Geo book out because you don't want to give them up, because that is quality. And they've been doing this for over 100 years. It's really quite amazing. Go to Nat Geo, if you have kids, it's National Geographic Kids page. And all of these books will be there and more books. I've talked to so many wonderful authors from Nat Geo, and I love them all. It's just a wonderful, as I said, also, if you're sitting at home and you can't sort of concentrate on a story, you can always open up a Nat Geo book and get lost for hours in it and just enjoy yourself. So anyway, it's been an interesting day between Randy Rush, who won $50 million in the lottery. It's hard to imagine it, isn't it? $50 million? What we could do with $50 million around here. Right? Big Ed, would you like $50
million? Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure, why not? Do you buy a lottery ticket every week?
I keep forgetting.
You keep forgetting? I'm afraid to forget because I've been doing it now for so many years that I am absolutely sure that the week I forget will be the week that it's going to win. So I get almost panicky now.
And I only buy when it's like $300-400 million jackpot. I'm not going to mess with that 30 or 40 million.
Listen, Ed, I mess with 2 million. It's got 2 million. I'll take it. I just can't not buy it anymore. It's been years. So you never know, Ed, you never know, right? Okay. Well, everybody, I've enjoyed this show. I really had the nice, I like both of these guys so much. Okay, well, there's so many things happening out there. One of the things is you should be reading books, that's for sure. And I'm hoping I get more happy books because I don't want any more dystopian books. Please, people, I don't even like that word anymore. I can't stand it. I don't want to hear any more pandemic books. Please don't write any. Please, please, I'm begging you, don't write. Write a happy book because I need a happy book. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. And I forgot, my goodness, Carol J. Perry's new book is coming up, and this is too exciting, and I'm waiting to talk to her about it. It's called Murder Take Two, and it's coming out next week. My goodness, Carol J. Perry, I love you. And her Witch City Mysteries are always, always the best. So meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. Thank you for this wonderful perfume all over the studio. Eau de Clorox, or Clorox number 5, we'll call it. Maybe Clorox number 5. And now that I smell like that, all day long. Anyway, everybody, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And everybody have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And Ed saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been a general. I would have made a great general. I would have loved it. Did you know Winston Churchill wanted to be a general? He would have made a great general, too, but he never made it. Okay, bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 1